Aloha, and welcome to what we're going to have as a special candid conversation today. We've got breaking news from Alex Kraft at Heat. So without any further ado, Alex, can you tell us what in the heck you've been up to and what you're doing and what you're hoping to get done?
Breaking news. Heave is now offering service for construction equipment customers. That is hot off the press.
Now, where are all your mechanics?
They are, as we all know who have been in the industry, they are former dealer trained, OEM trained, independent technicians, or also, you know, small mobile service companies that exist in the market as well. And so we are excited to offer, you know, an alternative to dealer service in the market.
It's really interesting. This is the second time you've got ahead of the curve. This one's quite dramatic.
It is. Yeah, it was always on our roadmap, to be honest, but I thought it was going to be a few years down the road. And, you know, what kind of, there have been a couple of things that have been eating away at me in the last 12 months, because I love what we brought to market, you know, the ease for customers to get RFQs for renting equipment and buying equipment. But one of the things that it seemed more like it was an inconvenience, the traditional way of renting and buying equipment, more than an emotional problem. And when I say emotional, like, service is a, you know, for all of us who have been doing this for a long time, you know, service was the area where you would get disputes. You would get customers who, you know, I need to talk to the manager. I need to, who's running that place? You know, that was the source of a lot of contention, was in the service arena. There's very few disputes over a rental or buying equipment. And so I love what we were doing. We were maybe isolated into a certain part of the market with the rental and sales app. And I think with service, with what we're able to offer and the experience, the reception is much more enthusiastic from customers, because it is a real problem.
It's more than a real problem. It's the identification of an opportunity too. One of the things that most of us in the equipment business forget is that our labor market share is rather poor as dealers. So if we give them the benefit of the doubt and look at the high water mark, the best OEM dealer market share in labor might be 25%, meaning that there's three times as many mechanics out there serving that OEM dealer's machines than the dealer has available. Some of them are employed by the customer, but many of them are independents. Then the other thing that has transpired recently, other than huge national accounts, there's no standardization on equipment. It's multiple brands. So you could have, in the heavy equipment world, you could have all of Komatsu, Caterpillar, Volvo, and Deere, all in the same fleet. Does that mean I go to four different dealers? And of course. So the app you've got, on a mobile phone, on a laptop, on a tablet, it's ubiquitous. It's with something that we walk with every day. Mm-hmm. Now somebody can say, hey, wait a second, I need a mechanic. Where can I find some? Is that the service that your app provides?
It is 100%. It is. It's a completely different experience. It is, I have a machine down. I need a technician. I open an app. I input my location. I choose the model. It's a Cat 336 excavator. It's a Komatsu WA250. So you got a regen, I type in a couple notes, you know, regen issue. If there's error codes, you can type those in. And then request service. And we have technicians on the other side who have a set service area. So when we onboard technicians, you know, I want to respond. My service area is Sarasota and Tampa. My service area is Orlando. And then these three counties outside of Orlando. And so wherever the customer needs that service, it will go to the technicians in the network who have that service area. They know who the customer is. They know the address. And then they respond via text message on their side, you know, what their availability is. And so the customer will get it back and they'll be able to see, you know, Joe Smith is $135 an hour. He's experienced with these brands and he can be there tomorrow morning. You know, click here to accept. And then off they go.
And that's as far as you go. You don't have a work order for them or any of that, but that is an option later down if they want to, correct?
Yeah, I'm sure we'll work towards that. Like the way that it works is, you know, we basically set the appointment for the technician. They go out, they work on the machine, they invoice us, we turn around and invoice the customer. We don't want to change anything that the technician is doing today, because obviously they're working in the market. You know, we want to get them on. We want them to get a lot of value where we're bringing them business. And then we'll work over time. I'm sure we'll ask them about pain points that they have as technicians. Okay. Wouldn't it be nice if, you know, when I got to the machine, if you did open a work order for us, and we'll get there.
So when did it get launched?
This week. So we've been working on it for a couple months, just talking to customers. And just to see if this was a viable idea, if this was a true problem. And, you know, when I first talked to customers about rental and sales, the reaction I got was a lot of it was, hey, this is a good idea. This is really cool. Yeah, I don't love the process today. That was the reaction. I had some customers who were really honest with me and said, hey, you know, this is a great idea, but it's not for us. You know, we're a really large account. And, you know, I could see where this would be game changing for a smaller customer because they don't get salesmen coming by there calling on them. They probably don't know who to go to. Fair enough. That was good. That was good feedback. Now, when we started talking to customers about service and the ability to offer an app that where they could find a technician, it was a completely different response from the largest accounts. Enthusiastic. Wait a minute. Absolutely. I would pay for that tomorrow. Right now the dealer is 1 to 2 weeks out. This could save me money. They love the transparency of it where we show them the technician rates. You know, just the whole experience. They don't have to call in. I had a couple of customers mention to me, you know, I mean, we all know the business. And customers have a frustration when there is a shortage of technicians, which we've been reading the same stories for 10 years now. And there are no short-term answers. What happens is there's a prioritization of who gets the next technician. We all know it. And the customer said to me, you know, I'm really tired of when my guy calls in and I'm told it's a week to 2 weeks that I have to call my salesman and say, you know what? This isn't acceptable. I'm not buying your wheel loaders anymore unless I get a guy in the next 2 to 3 days. And that's just the reality. And so I'm excited because it is a problem and none of the solutions that we've read about apply in the short term. It's the solutions are, well, we need to promote the career path. We need to convince more people to not attend four-year universities, that this is a solid career, which I agree with, but how does that help us in 2023? You know, how does that help us in the next quarter? Because machines go down every day. And so, you know, this, I think, unlocks a supply and makes them visible to the entire market.
Yeah, it's intriguing. As you know, I started in 1969. And at some point in the 60s, every manufacturer extended their product range. So, for instance, you could almost say that Caterpillar was a tractor company in the 20s and 30s. And now they're everything, everywhere. Mm-hmm. And when what I can remember most in the early days was we couldn't keep up with warranty. The new machines were problematic. And what did the dealer drop? Maintenance. And then customers said, well, wait a second. I believe in maintenance. I need to, mm-hmm. I guess if you're not going to be available for me, I'm going to have to get my own guy. And where did we get my own guy? I hired him from you.
Mm-hmm.
So now I further exacerbated the problem or magnified the problem of not having availability. You know, I've said for a long time, the first mechanic was a blacksmith. He was the guy that had the strongest back, and he probably the only one. He was a huge monster. He made swords and horseshoes and that kind of stuff. Today, the technician is one of the smartest people in the employ of the dealership. The things they have to know, electronics and hydraulics alone, are amazing. Then you got telematics and sensors everywhere. And hey, this is a different thing. I used to, at one point I had a Cadillac. I bought a used Cadillac that the owner had. And it had every piece of technology you could ever imagine on this car. It was used in the commercial. It was the STS that spun around in front of the BMW and Mercedes, et cetera, et cetera. When you picked up the hood, Alex,
mm-hmm.
you couldn't see anything. The only way you could do engine work was to raise the car and drop the engine down below. So the work the technician does is really difficult. And Maytag repair guy, the commercial, the arrival of the geek squad,
mm-hmm.
because people had trouble finding somebody to look after their electronics at home or their home theater or whatever. We've got technology and equipment everywhere begging for the service that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a Samsung phone. I looked for it, and it's not quite available yet, but it's coming. But in the process of looking at all the different services that are out there, you're the first one, to my knowledge, in our industry. And once that becomes everyday cereal,
mm-hmm.
customers who own machines, machine owners, no matter what the brand, they have access to a population of mechanics that they don't have to employ. They can surge employ, on-demand employ.
Yep.
And it's a facilitation for the technician. He doesn't need to worry about getting business, trying to market and sell, because typically they're not that good at that.
No, they're not. And so a couple of things there. I'm going to throw a crazy idea at you too. you're right. So my one fear when we started down this path was, how many of these guys have access to the diagnostic software? Because you're right. The equipment is much more electronic. And I was pleasantly surprised that all the guys that I found who are working in the market have the software. You know, they're resourceful people. There's also other companies. There's a company called Diesel Laptops that sells and they finance the laptops too, to technicians that they have programs that give you the cat, the deer, all those, the codes and everything. So I was pleasantly surprised there. So it was not an issue. I thought it could have been an issue. And I don't think, the other thing too is that there were plenty of customers in the market when I asked them who had already had experience with independent technicians. So it wasn't a new concept. Their problem was they just knew one guy. And so they had found this guy manually. And then there were plenty of other customers who didn't know that these guys existed. And so they thought, well, if that guy exists, he doesn't have the software that the other guy, well, yes, he does. And so now we're open to people's eyes. Here's our crazy idea. And this goes back to short-term solution for this technician shortage. So yes, we've got independent technicians. We're going to make them more visible. What if we gave a brand new supply to the market and said to contractors who employ their own technicians, how utilized are your guys? You know, we've all walked through and a guy's sweeping the floor in the shop. You know, it's a challenge, and it's a very difficult thing when you're a dealership making sure all of your technicians are utilized. How about a contractor? That's not your business. And so I guarantee you, if we talk to a large customer in South Florida who has 8 technicians, you know, he wasn't able to tell me what their utilization was, but we're like, wait, what if 4 of your guys don't have anything to work on for the next few days? What if you farmed them out on heave? And now they're working on the other guys in the market machines. You can continue to, you're paying them X. They're now, they're generating income and they're utilized. And it actually adds a layer of efficiency to the entire market, right? Because these are guys who aren't, in our view, like, what if we could make sure that every technician who's a technician in the market is actually working on something at this point in time? Wouldn't that provide a lot more efficiency to the overall market? And now we're not having to wait for 5 years from now for more people to go into to chase this career.
Well, let me be completely outlandish. I don't believe we have a shortage of technicians. I don't believe we ever have. And the reflection of market share between customer mechanics, dealer mechanics, and independent mechanics. Let's just focus on that for a second. Which one of those three groups do you think employs more mechanics? The customer, the independent, or the dealer?
The dealer.
The customer by a long shot.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, in terms of the overall segment?
Total number of technicians employed working on equipment.
I understand. Yeah, I was not thinking. I know exactly what you're saying, because you're saying if there's 100 customers in the market and they each employ like 2 technicians. Right. I got you. All right. Makes sense. So I wasn't thinking it.
So let's go further. With electrification of equipment, of vehicles, period, vehicles, buses, cars, taxis, Ubers, fire trucks, the tendency is going to be for the manufacturer to sell direct. Like the Ford electronic vehicle contract is that everything is shipped from a factory. It's not shipped from a dealership. Mm-hmm. But the thing that cannot be outsourced is labor. The customer has a Tesla or a Volt, just to put a couple of brands out there rather than just one. They still need brakes. They still need alignments. They still need tires. They still need electronics. They still need wipers, accessories, different things, and they need batteries. But it isn't enough to make enough money for the dealer to continue with the business model that dealers had for the last 100 years. So the dealership's going to change. Probably a lot of them will go out of business. But the labor portion is there. However, it has to be all brands in order for it to be viable.
That's true.
And the dealer, the Cat, Volvo, Case, Deer, whatever, they don't have access to technical training on those things. Mm-hmm. We have a subject you and I need to talk about after this is done that will enhance this as well. But I think the customer's mechanics, now the trap there or the test there, is if that customer mechanic finds he can be employed comfortably, not working for the customer,
right,
for himself, what happens then?
So, you know, I don't see that as being a losing proposition, you know, for the contractor who loses the technician, because it's expensive to employ people, and you know, a lot comes with that. And but now if there's a service where there's more peace of mind that I like, why do contractors hire their own technicians? I mean, dealers have always provided service and technicians. There must have been a reason that, like, you know what? We can't always rely on the dealer, right? So naturally we hire our guys. Well, now if there's a service that now exposes more, I don't think it's necessarily a net negative if a customer technician then went out and worked on his own. I don't see
that. Of that from a customer perspective, think about, they have to have build a shop, many of them. Mm-hmm. They have to have a field truck. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the field trucks, when this started 40, 50 years ago, they were $35,000 to $50,000. Now they're $150,000, $180,000.
Yeah.
And the cost of tooling. has mushroomed in the same direction. So it's not just the hourly rate that the customer mechanic has to deal with. It's everything that goes with that. They got to have purchasing people. They got to have payables people. It's a completely different ballgame.
It is. Yeah. And that's also why, you know, when I continue to read the narrative about a shortage of technicians, and when I read dealers' response to it, and they say, well, if I could hire 100 more, I'd hire them today. And it's just not true, because, and this problem will not be going away. To hire a technician, you need one of two things. You need more shop space for them to work, or you need a field truck, like you're saying, which are 180 grand. And last time I checked, I don't know of a dealer that has 15 field trucks sitting there idly. They could just hand to a guy. You know, those are months out if you would buy one today. So it's not as simple as, well, if there was just, if we had access to more labor, we could hire the guys. You can't, you know, dealerships have 8 service bays, 12 service bays. They don't just mint 12 more service bays if they hired 12 more guys. It just doesn't happen.
I wonder what's going to happen to when the work is being done. I saw some statistics even this morning about how much of the workforce in America works during the, you know, 8 to 5 time period. I wonder how many customers would take service at 8 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, if it was available. And I wonder how many technicians would, you know, like Uber drivers, would moonlight for 3 or 4 hours a couple of nights a week. I mean, all of a sudden you open up, you change the dynamic completely, don't you?
Yes, this is the true disruption.
I love disruptions. It's you know, the Internet of Things, services as, you know, systems as a service. It's everything is changing, Alex.
But I love your mindset, because what you just spelled out was, now customers could have an option for service that's more amenable to their schedule, right? Like, we've all been there where we send out our tech to perform maintenance on your machine. Yeah, but they're here at 1 p.m, which means that we have to shut the machine down. So now we're losing production. I'm paying 3 guys to stand around while you service the machine. That's not really good customer service. You know, something goes down at the end of the day, it's not really great service if you show up 2 days later, you know. But here, if I put in a request, and that's one of the things that we're trying to get a gauge on from the technicians that we onboard, is that, hey, I know all the dealers say they're 24/7 service, that they're not, but, like, would you be answering your phone if someone put in, so if they're on a paving job, it's 11 o'clock at night? Is that something that you would respond to? We need to know here. And so I think it's going to open the world to some possibilities like that, like true after-hours service based on the customer's demand.
And let's change the terminology. It's not after hours.
I've been conditioned.
Yeah, no, we all have. But I love it. As you know, I'm on the edge of a whole bunch of things all the time anyways, but there's so much that this opens up. And if you think of the equipment world, brands are almost all identical now. You could paint them all the same color and it'd be very hard to differentiate. The car companies are the best of the bunch as far as rebranding with designs and architecture. I hate the front of some of the cars. I won't mention brands, but we could all have our own. And look what happened when Audi changed to LEDs on the headlights. Mm. And all of a sudden we got these fancy things, and that was a selling feature. What do we do with equipment? The sexiest thing that we've seen happen in equipment in the last little while is a turning inside itself excavator. The high drive, the Caterpillar high drive undercarriage, it's only Caterpillar, nobody else. High pressure hose. Air-Equip used to be the biggest hose supplier to the equipment world without any question. They went from about 80% market share to under 10 because they didn't get up on the... So this type of circumstance I have 50 machines. I'm a national account guy. I have seven different brands. I have to deal with seven different dealers. Wait a second. And if you have a plumber that you get used to at home, or a handyman, or an electrician, or you know one person, like you said, not everybody.
No. Yeah.
It's hard for us to quote, purchase that. Where do you go? How do you know who's good or bad?
That's right. Ratings are going to become big on our platform. I love that aspect of it. It's going to be really neat to watch over time. Guys get rated, and you'll be able to see the cream rise to the top. But you know, the other thing too that I'm really excited about, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it, because for this to really take off and be successful, you have to have technicians who love the experience. Like, we've talked a lot about the customer, as we should. But the really cool thing, and that has been different with what we're doing now than what we were doing before, is how the technicians are responding to it. The technicians that we found are really excited about this because of what we've kind of talked about earlier. You know, they want to fix machines. They don't want to deal with the back off stuff of a dealership. They hate that. But they're not marketers, and they just rely on a very small group of customers that they know for their livelihood. And so this makes sense to them. They're excited about it. They're excited about how easy it is for them to, here's two requests. You know, when am I going to be done? All right, boom. And then now they got the next job. And we didn't have that type of reception from dealer salespeople. You know, we had plenty who were like, you know what? I don't need an app to help. I sell enough as it is. Like, okay. But so what's really excites us is that for how easy this is for customers and how we can solve a customer problem, the technicians are excited about joining and getting, you know, work through our platform.
Well, let me take you to a different direction. You thought you were going wild by having the customer mechanic. About 40 years ago, one of my clients, rather than losing technicians who wanted to go out on their own because they couldn't afford to keep paying them the competitive wage, they created a team of technicians that were affiliated with the dealership but independent. So I would bet you money you're going to have dealers who are going to embrace this service by having their mechanics on the platform. On an availability basis. Don't forget, they're choosing when they want to work or not, right?
Right.
So if you think of this being, you know, think about what Uber did to taxis, specifically in New York City, where I don't know what they call it, a medallion or something, was $1 million.
Yeah, medallion.
Yeah, it was $1 million if you wanted to get into the taxi. Well, wait a second. And the taxis, I don't want to slam New York, but the taxis weren't clean. They smelled all of us.
You're not slamming New York. That is a well-established fact. If you've ridden the New York City taxi.
So here comes Uber, and now I've got teachers that want a little bit more money doing a couple hours at night. I'm going to have the same thing with the technicians, Alex. He wants more. He works for the dealership. He wants more money. He needs money for Christmas. So he's going to work a couple of nights a week at $135 an hour and pocket it. Here we go.
Times are slow. We were cut back to 32-hour work weeks. I've lived through those times. I'm sure you have too.
The fundamental problem with service at a dealership is utilization of assets. And it's always bothered me. I've had one dealer, very few dealers have I succeeded at this, but field trucks only work one shift, one guy. I said, that's baloney. I want to double shift the truck. Two guys are going to share it. Huge fights. Oh, I got to have my own tools, blah, blah, blah. No, the dealership will provide the tools. You lose the tools, we're going to charge you. Fine.
Right.
So instead of 180 grand, it's now 90. Because I can utilize it. Same thing's going to be true with these guys.
Yeah, you know, I'd never heard of anyone wanting to double shift the truck, but I love that idea. Makes sense.
Been doing that since 1970.
Jesus. And people would fight you on that? I mean,
oh, hell yes, you should. I had one dealership that had over 300 field guys. It was about 100, 125 grand for a field truck in those days. And they were over, 90% of them were over 50, 80% of them were over 55, 70% of them were over 60. So they had 4, 5, and 6 weeks vacation. So you do the extension on that out of the couple of hundred field trucks. They had 20 or 30 of them parked full time, 12 months of the year. I said, this is ludicrous.
It is, yeah.
But I got to have my own truck. I drive it home. Hell, I'll give you a Russian Lada. You know, it's cheap.
Let me guess. The dealership's motto was some kind of bullshit about like, oh, customer uptime is what matters the most.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then the same thing about mechanics. You know, we got a shortage of mechanics. I can't hire a mechanic. Every single bay is full and they're working 10 hours a day. Where are you going to put them if you hire? Oh, they're going to be outside. It's okay. It's warm. Yeah, go to tell me that in the Yukon.
Right, right, right.
You're breaking into a sacred cow that is going to really moo like hell. But it's like you say, if the mechanics find it something that's user-friendly, easy for them, they can choose yes or no. It's their choice. Hello, but this is going to be terrific. Have you any idea? I wonder what the number is. How many mechanics do you think there are that service heavy equipment by state in the country? I wonder if there's a source for that.
I've tried to find that out, and I haven't been able to find a source for it.
Let me look.
I'd love to.
You didn't ask me, you know.
I know. I know. I'm not that smart.
No, yeah, to ask? I bet you... ADP, the agency that does the government reporting on unemployment, working, et cetera, I bet you they have job classifications that are all out there. SIC codes should be able to do the same thing. But that would be a good measure for you to be able to promote the service to machine owners.
Mm-hmm.
There's, I don't know, pick a number. There's 10,000 mechanics in the state of Florida and 6,500 of them are on our platform. Are you interested?
Wow. Yeah. So do you,
go ahead.
I'm interested that the idea you had about dealer mechanics moonlighting. I love that. Do you think that we could get that done? Or do you think dealers will just be like, no way in hell are our guys doing that?
A lot of dealers disallow moonlighting.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a restraint of trade. It's illegal. So, you know, I'm talking about stepping on toes here all over the place. But the federal government just made an announcement today that they wanted to have people report independent income down to $600 instead of $20,000, which it is today.
Mm-hmm.
So today you could have $19,000 of non-traditional income and you don't have to report it as a separate deal. They want to go down to 600 because they think you're skirting paying your taxes. In other words, sure. They continue to go after the little guy instead of the big guy.
That's right.
But yeah, we used to have at many dealers that I've been involved with, you can't do anything other than work here. And you know, a lot of unions are in shops now. That's not going to fly anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at the mess with the railways that the government had to step in and say, go back to work when the companies wouldn't give them sick days, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
So it's going to break a whole bunch of things up. The dealer has a tool or the customer has a tool whereby he can request a mechanic. He can request a plumber. He can request a handyman. Everybody and every homeowner would like that. Every machine owner would like that. The handyman, the plumber, the mechanic would get a notification. There's a job offer opening here. Are you interested? Yes or no?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Every handyman, plumber, electrician, mechanic would love that. There's a teacher who doesn't make as much money at a technical school teaching and wants to make a few more bucks. He'll work Saturday morning. Away we go. the start of Uber. Having the software to be able to link it all together, the glue to put everybody in the same place, that's the answer, and that's what you're providing.
Mm-hmm.
It is breaking news.
It is. And it's we're excited.
Should we talk about pricing or not?
Sure, we can.
How much does it cost a customer?
So it's whatever is charged on the platform. Like we show what the rate is.
Labor rate or how much to get? Is it free for everybody to look at it? How do you get paid?
So this was an important thing, right? Determining this. So we mark up the technician's rate a certain percentage. So we don't.
You don't take anything from either side. You just take a piece of the action.
Correct. We don't eat into the technician's wage. They set their wage and we mark it up a certain percentage.
Clever devil, you.
Yeah, we don't. We want technicians to love Heave and to want to use it.
So how do you penetrate the market? How are you going to flash it? How are you going to scale it? How are you going to grow it?
So the first piece was finding enough reputable, good size contractors who this solves a problem for and participate. And we found that throughout the state, because those are the ones that we're not going to have collection risks with, who will have frequent needs for service. That's a big part. This doesn't do any good if, you know, you need your machine breaks down once a year. And who love the idea and are going to be patient with us as we work it out, right? You know, I'm sure there are going to be some unforeseen things that come up, and we'll tweak the product and fix it as we go. But we want to start with a customer base that we know will have needs and who want to use it, and then get it really dialed in. You know, the other piece that we're working concurrently is making sure we had enough technicians in certain areas for these customers. You know, making sure that we had four options in the Tampa market, making sure we had four options in the Orlando market. And, you know, so because it's not a great experience if, you know, this large customer, Fort Lauderdale, you know, has a machine go down, they put in a request, they don't get anybody. So we had to make sure we could facilitate it too. And then, you know, like all good software companies, you know, build it. Yeah, we'll market it aggressively, but you know the industry, there's going to be a viral component to this. And I can't understate it. Like, the technicians really like it. We've had technicians referring other technicians to us.
That's what's going to happen.
So-and-so is going to love this, you know, and we did not have that with salespeople. You know, even though the salespeople like weren't competing with each other, like we wouldn't have, this is crazy to me, but we would have a guy within a dealership like Heave and then not refer another guy within the same dealership. They're not competitive. They're not. But they just only wanted to keep it to themselves. And that was really difficult for us. And so with this, we've had the opposite experience. You know, we've had customers like, oh, I'm going to tell this other customer about this. This is awesome. You know, you have no idea how much a pain in the ass it is for us to find a welder, you know, and here we go. And we're going to build out like specialty services. It will index the pages eventually. Like, hey, you're looking for a welder. All right, here's a welder. On highway truck, you know, so we've got customers who are working with us because they love the idea. Hey, this is how we really, where we can get the most benefit, you know, show us this. And we're going to work on it in Florida. You know, we're going to keep it where we can manage it and really get it right before we scale out to other locations.
I'm excited for you, Alex. It's a wonderful opportunity and what you're doing in staying in Florida is what I call the controlled violence stage. You know, it's going to be wild keeping up. But once this thing takes off, and it will take off, word of mouth is going to go. Contractors you're dealing with in Florida don't just work in Florida.
No. And we've had technicians in other states reach out to us. We just can't. We're gonna have to have a waiting list. Like, we don't have the demand yet. We'll get there, but we just got to, we're focused on doing this thing right.
Check out the home sales things, the women having their parties with different things. Have representatives in Houston and Kansas City that are going to be peddlers for you that'll get pieces of the action, you know, and there's all manner of different things that go on.
Definitely.
So you've got it up on Apple now. Android is coming soon. Any other
Yes.
vehicles like that? An app in both of those stores, that should cover just about everything, right?
Yeah, it covers everything. I mean, we're really going to be slimming down our website, which is also exciting to me.
Yeah.
Our website's going to be really simple. I think it actually just went live. Where you really can't do it. It's like you come to the website, the mission statement is very clear. We're an on-demand heavy equipment technician network. Click here to download the app. You can't put in a request on a computer. Everything in the app where it's really clean and super easy to use. I'll write about stuff on the website, but no, the website is a vehicle for people to download the app in the App Store.
Yeah, contrary to our website, where there's so much on there, it's scary as hell.
Well, but
Nobody goes
you're a
in there.
different, I mean,
Yeah,
you're a resource.
it's a different game altogether. So, how about you give us a wrap, a close? Heave
We are,
service, what's it called?
hey, it's heat. We are, the easiest thing to say is it's Uber for heavy equipment technicians.
Perfect.
That's what it is.
And you're going to write a blog describing this for us that we'll publish whenever you get it written, right?
Absolutely. The
And
why behind it, what we are confident we can help with. Yeah, we don't believe that we're gonna have a monopoly on service, but the reality is that, like we've talked about, there's no real short-term solutions, and equipment breaks down every day, and there's a tremendous backlog of service work. And so we think we can help customers get machines up and running a lot faster and less expensive than the current solution.
that's one thing that I started a couple of times, but it slipped through my mind. In order for the dealerships to be profitable, they have to have backlogs. In order for the contractor to be profitable, they can't wait for a repair. So those two positions are in complete opposition to each other in conflict.
Oh, and here's another thing. And this is a, I think, a huge advantage for the independent network to exist and thrive, is that the economic incentives are not the same, right? If you're an independent, it's your rating, it's you, you're the brand. If you take twice as long to fix that machine, you're probably not getting a call back. If you're a dealer, there's no real incentive to hit the time guide. To I mean, there's no, it doesn't impact you personally as a technician. It really doesn't impact the dealer. Now, over time, you could lose customer confidence, but there are structural advantages for to be independent. These guys are incentivized to work fast and to work correctly.
One of the interesting things was when I've introduced standard times in dealerships, I let the mechanics have a choice. I give you 8 hours of work every day. When you're finished, you can go home. Or I'll give you additional work and I'll pay you for that work too. So if you finished in 6 hours, you can leave now, or I'll give you 2 more hours of labor and I'll pay you 10 hours for the 8 you're here. Which do you think the guys chose?
Ooh, the 6 hours and go
The older guys, yes. Younger guys, the 10 hours.
home.
It's all a function of individual personal need, which is exactly what you're doing. I want more work. I'm going to work till 10 o'clock tonight.
Right. It's, I love the model.
I do too. I'm excited as hell. That's why I wanted to do this. So it's the Uber for technicians in the equipment world.
That's right. Uber for heavy equipment technicians.
Love it, man. Congratulations and all the best.
Thank you. I appreciate your
support. I hope you paid attention, because Alex is one of these thought leaders we keep talking about on the system. And I hope this is going to work for everybody. Mahalo.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We appreciate your support. Should you have any thoughts or comments, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.learningwithoutscars.com. The time is now. Mahalo.